Oh, great. And we've got more.
Oh man, now we've got
Yeah, now we're
now we have
now
more
we're
than we need.
we sure do. All right. Well, sorry
Right.
for the delay there, folks, but we can get going. I think for roll call and introductions, we ought to go through that because we do have a new member with us today, Aaron Yonke from the Village of Wanakee. So, Brad, if you want to kick it off.
Am I hosting again?
Yes, sir. And
All
we've
right.
got
That's going to be a thing
one of
for a
our
while.
notes is that Lauren Dietz is who was elected our chair for this year. She is no longer with Wanakee, and so Aaron is replacing her. So you have been effectively elevated, Brad, from
All
vice
right.
chair to acting chair for
Okay.
now.
All right. So
Congrats,
we'll call the
bravo.
meeting to order for the MPO Technicals Committee for 7/23/2025, and you guys have taken the role. So we'll move on to introductions. I can start. I'm Brad Bruin. I'm the City of Monona Public Works Project Manager, and I'm also their GIS specialist. And we'll go on from there. It will. Should I just call out the next person? How about Judd?
I'm Judd Blau, Director of Public Services, Deputy Administrator for the Village of DeForest and IT. Welcome. I'll go next to, I don't know, Benjamin. You turned on, you're good.
We can't hear you, Benjamin, or at least I can't. It doesn't look like you're muted from my direction, my point of view, but audio is not coming through.
Sorry about that. Does that work?
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Ben John, Director of Public Works for the City of Middleton.
Welcome.
Looks like
Davis?
Davis is there.
Yeah, Davis Clark, Director of Public Works for the Village of Windsor.
And I can call people. That might be easiest just to keep this organized. Elise Cruz.
Hi, I'm Elise Cruz. I'm the Director of Community Development for the Village of Oregon. Usually Lauren Striegel, our Public Works Director, attends, but she's in a meeting today.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us. Brian.
Hi, all. I'm Brian Grady, a Principal Planner with the City of Madison.
And David Salmon.
Hi, David Salmon, Transportation Coordinator with City of Sun Prairie.
And Ross.
Ross Kaler, transportation engineer for the city of Fitchburg.
And Yang.
Good afternoon. My name is Yan Tao. I'm the director of the City of Madison's Traffic Engineering Division.
Matt Schreiber.
Come on. There we go. Matt Schreiber, Urban and Regional Planner, WSDOT Southwest Region.
All right, Aaron Yonke.
Aaron Yonke, Village Engineer, Village of Wanakee.
All right, Connor Mountford.
Connor Mountford, Transit Planner, Metro Transit.
And Chris Petakowski.
Hi, everyone. Chris Petakowski. I'm the Assistant City Engineer for City of Madison.
And Charlene.
Charlene Schmidt, Dane County Highway Engineer.
David Canning.
Hello, everyone. David Canning, Transportation Planner with the Greater Madison MPO.
And Alex.
Alexander Andros, and I am the Director of the Greater Madison MPO.
And my name is Bill Holloway. I'm a Transportation Planner here at the MPO. So we can move it on now. I'll hand it back to you, Brad.
All right, great. Welcome, everybody. Next item on the agenda, approval of the May 28th, 2025 meeting minutes. If I could take a motion for approval in a second.
This is Judd with the Village of DeForest. I'd approve.
Thank you, Judd.
Davis Clark, I'll second.
Thank you, Davis. I guess any opposed, please raise your hand. And seeing none, that approves the minutes from May 28th. Moving on to committee member reports. This is where we members of the committee share updates on ongoing and or upcoming usually MPO funded projects that are in the TIP or transportation alternative projects or otherwise. So we can take them in any order. Whoever has any updates, please feel free. Chris?
Thanks, Brad. A few updates for us and for the SDBG projects. General Drive Phase 1 is out for bids right now. That's exciting. That opens on August 12th, so we'll know the contractor here pretty soon, and construction will start up in October. Mineral Point Road, a little bit behind, we're working towards a November PS&E, so cranking on that project. Also, further out, John Nolan Drive Phase 3 RFP should be going out this week or next at the latest, and so we should be starting on the design for that stretch. For TAP projects, Westtown Path 2A was paved, I was told. I haven't seen it myself. It should be opening fairly soon. So that's exciting. That'll be from High Point to Zor Shrine. And Badger Rusk was bid out, and we have a contractor starting work on that in the next couple of weeks. So Badger Rusk Path will be getting built this fall. And working towards a final route and plans for Cap City Path 5 and 6, and coordinating with the county on their project. That's due for bids in next year. Just otherwise, another big project in the city, not MPO related, but Regent Street. We started our design meetings for that project. We're going to be reconstructing Regent from Randall to Park. So big project for us. We're going to have our first PIM in September. So that'll be coming up. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. We'll take the hands in order here. Judd, you were up first.
Yep. A couple of things. I don't know if I gave an update. We did have our first PIM for our Vinburn Road and the Vinburn Northtown Road HISSEP program that's coming up in 2027. So that's two projects that are kind of lined up in the same year. Because it makes sense to have them there. Good comments on the public information side, more for the stoplights at the intersection than for the MPO funded SDP grant. That's the urbanization basically of Vinburn Road. And 2028, we'll have Holham Street being done using that same grant funding source. And we have our public information meeting coming up on September 4th here at the village, so lots of feedback we'll get from folks on that one. We did have a grant that we weren't able to use for our trail on North Street, but that project got started this last week. Highway V from Main Street into Forest back east is being a combination of reconstruction and resurfacing with an additional trail route along the north side. We're hoping that, and I've requested that we'd be able to reallocate those funds to use for the trail going west on Highway V from Main Street out to what I call the food court affectionately, but you know, to where McDonald's, Culver's, and all the other restaurants are by the interstate, to facilitate non-motorized vehicle traffic and or pedestrian traffic to get out there for a job center or eats or whatnot. So that's a project that hopefully we could do in 2028. So otherwise, plenty of other things happening here in the village. Those are the big ones.
Great. Thank you, Judd. Yang?
Thank you, Brett. Just a few quick updates. We started this year's Vision Zero projects. a few weeks ago. So working really hard, you know, for you know, all my staff and also, you know, a few staff members from Chris Group are helping, you know, to get all the projects done. And we officially finished our citywide 20 is plenty program, which is to change speed limit on almost all the neighborhood streets to 20 miles per hour on a citywide basis. So we did a couple of pilot projects back in 2021 and saw really good results. So we did a citywide program. It was a lot of work. Went through a lot of challenges. So it's finally done. So had a nice press conference with the mayor this week. So a lot of positive feedback from the residents on that. Yeah, also see you know pretty good safety results. It's definitely you know a critical part of our speed management program. You know, another part is for arterial streets. So we're being kind of mindfully managing the speeds on those streets as well, especially you know the speeding right now is you know quite a big problem. On arterial streets, so far we have done over 40 miles of those streets on 40 street different streets. So you know altogether, along with you know all other projects, we feel like we're making a positive impact. The data just shows that from 2020, since we started our Vision Zero initiative, traffic fatalities on you know City Madison controlled streets reduced by 58%. So that's a you know quite a positive number. We're very encouraged on that. I want to share that with all of you. So that's good. Another good news, we already mentioned that we were able to get the transportation director position filled, and the person's name is Christoph, and he started this week. So thank you.
Good deal. Thank you, Yang. I got a question actually for a follow-up.
Oh, yeah.
It was there a significant pushback from the police department because of the added requirement of, you know, enforcement for the 20 mile an hour residential speed zones?
That is a great question, Brad. You know, there were definitely concerns on that, but we're able to collaborate with the police department and address that. You know, we're really not trying to bring in a whole lot of burden on them, you know, for enforcement. So we're also doing some, you know, other you know, countermeasures where we can to help remind the folks to slow down. So our approach is not, you know, just totally rely on enforcement, even though, you know, we made it clear, you know, some enforcement will be helpful when the resources are available. So so that being on board has been a great partner on it.
And do you know if there have been any enforcement actions on those roads with the lower speed limit now?
Yes. So for about those concentrated on arterial streets.
Okay.
So for every arterial streets, when we reduce speed limit, at least for the initial few weeks, you know, we do a pretty big public campaign with the media, you know, with the signage, and with some enforcement presence as well. So to kind of remind folks, you know, for enforcement, we don't start with tickets. We start with warnings, let people aware of the change. After a while, you know, the police start hand out, you know, actual tickets. So that was the approach. We haven't done any enforcement on, you know, the 20 miles off street yet.
David, do you have a question or you ready for an update? Thank you, Yang.
Yeah, got some updates. So we have two STBG projects this year. One is our St. Albert the Great Thompson Road rehabilitation. We finished phase one, which is Thompson Road north of Windsor Street, State Highway 19 and St. Albert the Great. And that road is looking nice. We're in phase two of that, which is Thompson Road south of Windsor, between Windsor and Main Street. We're still on target to meet reopening that road before school starts. So I think things are moving well there. We're also partially reconstructing Bird Street between US 151 and State Highway 19 and adding a cycle track on the west side. That has been going well. We did end up having to detour the buses for one day, but we're able to work with Metro to make that smooth and have minimal impacts on service. We were hoping, so we have a wayfinding signage project. We went out to bid and we did not get any bids for that. So we are working with DOT to change our let date and repackaging that a little bit, hoping to get some more interest. We got one person who submitted a bid after the deadline, way over budget. And so we were like, okay, maybe this was not appealing enough, too tight of a timeline, you name it. So we're hopeful that we'll get some more bids, again, with a slightly different request with that. And we'll be submitting that. We're re-advertising that in August and then hoping to get that to DOT in September. We're on track to resurface, this is a DOT project, Bristol Street and a one block of Windsor Street, all part of State Highway 19 next year. And that will add bike lanes along that corridor, as well as some other just kind of minor safety improvements. And then we've begun scoping for two other STBG projects, our O'Keefe project, which would be essentially reducing that road from a four-lane cross section to two lanes of travel lanes with a bike bus only lane as our outer lane. Again, we're not ready to do any reconstruction with the curb, and we figured this is one of the best ways that we can kind of do a road diet with a road that has a median and some roundabouts and other stuff. Scoping on that has begun, and I think we're good with that. And then we also have another St. Albert the Great project, also scoping that, adding bike lanes and then some pedestrian improvements. Well, that's updates from Sun Prairie.
Great, thank you, David. Does anybody else have any updates?
I got one more if I can quick.
Yeah, go ahead, Judd.
I forgot to mention the Highway 51, Pepsi Way, Williamsburg Way, stop and go lights, traffic signals by what used to be the Pine Cone truck stop. Those will be operational here by the end of the month, and that will be open back to normal traffic. So that was a quick project we worked on with DOT, but big impacts. That's feeding into the new Quick Trip distribution center there. So
great, thank you, Judd. I have a question. I don't know who was on for Dane County Highway. They have a couple pathway projects. Do you guys have any updates on any of those by chance?
Are those Dane County highways or Dane County parks?
There's the Cap City Trail connectors. There's a couple of them. And then there's the trail connector that's going through Lake Farm and McFarland to connect up to, what is it, Babcock, I believe. I don't know if that's in design phase.
Charlene, is that a Dane County Parks question?
Your audio doesn't seem to be working, Charlene.
How about that?
Oh, there you go.
I believe those are Dane County Parks questions. I've heard whispers about them, but I don't think we're the lead on that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other updates from the group? Otherwise, City of Monona doesn't have any current projects that are in the TIP. The major projects that we have for the most part this year are a major stormwater improvement project that will begin next month. And then just basic street maintenance along with some utility projects, but nothing in the TIP for this year, just design. So we'll close that part of the agenda out.
So David's going to be handling the presentation on this TIP amendment.
Yep. So a recommendation on amendment to the 25-29 TIP. Thank you, David.
All right. So this amendment makes several project additions and revisions to the Greater Madison MPO Transportation Improvement Program. Pardon me. The most significant item is the addition of the Interstate Reconstruction and Capacity Expansion Project, which is considered a major amendment. The interstate project extends from the Beltline to the North County line and then beyond to Wisconsin Dells. A major amendment is needed for this project so that design work, real estate acquisitions, and program control tasks can begin this year for the portion of the project located in the MPO planning area. And the costs associated with each activity are identified in the background or identified in the project listings that are in your packet. And a major amendment is required for this project because the total cost exceeds $7 million. We are now ready to process a major TIP amendment for the project because it was approved and formally enumerated with a recent adoption of the biennial state budget. Prior to that, we added the project to the fiscally constrained regional transportation plan through an amendment. And prior to that, the State Transportation Projects Commission recommended enumeration of the project, and that occurred last December. This map shows the anticipated construction schedule for the entire length of the project from Madison to Wisconsin Dells. Sequence 2 is considered Madison South, and that extends from State Highway 30 to US Highway 51. And construction of that segment is anticipated to start in 2030. The Madison North segment extends from State Highway 30 to the Beltline, and construction of that portion of the corridor is anticipated to start in 2038. And then the only other segment that's within the Madison planning area in Dane County is Section 6, and that extends from Highway 51 to the Wisconsin River in Columbia County. And construction of that segment is anticipated in 2024. The other sections of the project are located in Columbia, Sauk, and Portage counties. So a public hearing has been scheduled for August 6th at the MPO Policy Board meeting, as explained in the memo and public hearing notice that were sent by email and also posted to our website. We are currently accepting comments and will continue to do so through the August 6th board meeting. And we're anticipating that our policy board will take action following the public hearing. That concludes everything I wanted to mention pertaining to the interstate project. The other projects that are part of this amendment are considered minor TIP amendment projects. And one of those is the State Highway 79 project sponsored by WISDOT, which will be constructed from the West Village of Mount Horeb limits to State Highway 92. And that project is anticipated, I believe, in 2033, construction that is. And then we also have five new carbon reduction projects, which
Hey, David, I just wanted to chime in here because I think we had that listed incorrectly on our agenda. We had it shown as State Highway 78, but it is 79 is correct, right?
Yes. I'll have to look at that again, but thanks for pointing that out.
It is State Highway 78.
Yeah.
Oh, 78 is correct. Okay.
Sure, yeah. And stop. Thank you for mentioning that. Give me one moment here while I share my presentation again. Okay, so State Highway 78. And then we do have five new carbon reduction program projects. These are projects that were actually part of our last solicitation that occurred in 2024. WISDOT only recently, I think last April, sent out approval letters for those projects. And then lastly, we have three SCBG urban projects that will have some revisions. Are you able to see my PowerPoint presentation?
It's not showing right now, dude.
Okay.
Let me know if you need me to change permissions for you to show it.
Oh, okay. Well, I do have the share window up. I just failed to actually select the window. And it's not giving me the option to select the PowerPoint window, which is odd. I can do that one. And now I need to flip the...
It's not we're showing present
We're seeing your
view.
Screen now, but it's not in presentation mode.
Yeah. It won't let me select. There we go. Okay. Everything okay now?
Yep.
Great.
Good.
Okay. Bear with me one more moment. All right. So the first CRP project I want to talk about is a Southdale bike path, and that's sponsored by the City of Fitchburg. That is a low-stress shared-use path that extends from the Southdale neighborhood to the Cap City Trail. Fitchburg mentioned when they in their application that this was needed because the bike lanes on County Trunk Highway MM really did not see a lot of use. And so this will definitely improve the active transportation network in that area and connections south to City Hall and the library and other uses. The next project is sponsored by the Village of Forest. That's the County Trunk Highway V project, which extends from River Road to North Main Street. As Judd mentioned, they're looking to reallocate the funding that was originally programmed for this project on Highway V east of Main Street to the section west of Main Street. And what that will do, that will complete a missing link by connecting two existing trail ends. So that's what this amendment aims to do. And then the curb management plan project sponsored by the City of Madison. That purpose of that project or that plan is to reduce vehicle idling and circling related to curbside loading and unloading of passengers and goods. It also aims to improve safety by preventing multi-user conflicts. There's the City of Middleton LED streetlight conversion project. Middleton did receive some funding previously to convert, I believe, 500 of their high pressure sodium streetlights to LED fixtures. This is considered phase two, and it replaces the remaining 209 fixtures from high-pressure sodium to LED fixtures. And lastly, Sun Prairie is sponsoring a fire engine mitigation project, emissions mitigation project. And what this project aims to do is add auxiliary power battery to two fire engines that will be purchased, I believe, next year. And what this will do is provide power to the vehicles when they're stationary after being dispatched for non-fire related calls, such as medical emergencies. And this will reduce the amount of engine idling and diesel fuel consumption. And then the last part of the amendment deals with previously approved SDBG urban projects. What this is aiming to do is allocate funding that was originally awarded to the Bailey Road project, which is scheduled in 2027, to the other two projects that are scheduled in 2027. And the reason for that is because the Bailey Road project has been canceled. So this will increase the SDBG urban funding of those two projects. And this is something that our policies for the SDBG urban program recommend. If we did not transfer the funding, we'd either have to quickly find a new project, or we'd have to, or we'd potentially lose the funding. And so this is one of the recommendations that are made in situations like this. That concludes my presentation. We are recommending approval of the amendments, and I'm available for any questions.
All right. Does anybody have any questions for David regarding the amendment or amendments, I should say? I guess, David, I have a question in terms of process here. Are we taking motions on each individual amendment or the whole thing?
I think it's sufficient just to make an amendment for, or making a to make a motion for the entire amendment, so all projects included in that.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to approve or recommend approval of the amendments as listed in the agenda for this meeting.
This is Ross with the City of Fitchburg. So moved.
Thank you, Ross.
Judd with the Village of the Forest, seconded.
Thank you, Judd. Any opposed, please raise your hand. Otherwise, we'll assume the group approves unanimously. So we'll go with that. All right. So thank you, David.
Thanks.
And then item number 5 on the agenda is discussion of potential future MPO work program planning activities.
That one's mine. That one's going to be mine. And I'll keep it brief. So what this is referring to is this time of year, for those of you who are not familiar with MPO goings on, we have to create something called the UPWP, which is basically our work plan for the future year. So in this case, 2026. And we do that, it needs to be approved by WSDOT and FHWA and FTA to sort of approve what we're going to be doing with the formula funds we receive for the upcoming year. And there's a number of things that we all kind of have to do at certain times. So next year, the primary thing that we are going to have to work on is an update to our regional transportation plan. That is a big undertaking. And because we're not absolutely sure what our funding is absolutely going to be from the federal government, at this point, we intend to do that mostly in-house, maybe with a little assistance from a consultant. So that's going to be our biggest work item. In addition to that, we are going to be completing the TISMO plan that we are trying to contract for. We have a consultant selected, and that will be happening and completing by the end of next year. But that's going to be something where they do the primary amount of work, but we will do coordination as well. But it's also the time of year where I do reach out to the communities to get a feel for if there's something in particular that your community may need. So for instance, this time last year, the Village of Wanakee reached out, the administrator reached out knowing that he anticipated the village working on their comp plan and just asked if we would be able to build into our work plan to provide some staff, you know, review of that transportation element and some of those pieces. So that's an example of sort of the sorts of things we're looking for. We have, you know, for instance, the City of Madison has a basis of working on neighborhood plans each year. So we always include that so that we are available to provide assistance there. But I just wanted to bring this up to see, just to let you all know, start thinking about it, and also let us know if you have any ideas. We can't guarantee we can do everything given our workload, but if it's not in there, then we can't put funding towards it. So it's important to include things. So that's really all I have to say. I'm happy to answer questions about that, though.
Hey, Alex.
Hi, Shirley.
I was wondering if you guys would be able to run signal warrants, or is that I guess the question for what the MPO is going to be working on next year, is that within the current capabilities of what the MPO does, or would there be amendments to what the MPO is doing?
That, well, it wouldn't be an amendment. If we include it now for 2026, it would just be included as something. But I'd have to ask exactly what would be involved in the signal warrants. So that would maybe be more of a, we could have more discussion on
yeah.
it. But that's a good example.
I had a thought kind of in relation to the Regional Safety Action Plan and kind of broader Vision Zero goals as kind of safety improvements that we're implementing across the region. And really just it's more of a kind of a thought on wanting to potentially work with MPO and maybe some of the other local governments on just evaluating the improvements that we make and what are some of the different factors that we're using to evaluate. Obviously, when we talk about high crash intersections, we really have to wait some amount of time for a lot of us to really know are the changes that we're making really substantially reducing anything or changing any factors. But I think there's a lot of other measurable things that we can look at. So I think that is just one of the things that I'm personally working on for us in Sun Prairie, trying to build up a better practice of. So basically at this point it's kind of speed and volume is a relatively easy thing for me to get with some portable traffic cameras we have. But what else can we really be looking at? I think that there would be some value in that. And I think to the comment about signal warrants, we're also kind of leaning into stop sign warrants and other things like that, trying to use a much more data-driven approach and trying to be cost-effective with that, so that we can help head off the politically approved unwarranted traffic controls. So I think there's maybe two parts there, which is I think I think we all can get some support around navigating those issues that we all deal with, and then just trying to evaluate our safety improvements. And I think maybe one of the easy one is with STBG projects. I think we're all kind of, that's one of those easy ones and good ones for us that we are implementing things, whether it's curb extensions or speed humps, separated bike infrastructure, so on and so forth. But then I guess for our local projects too, is kind of what are some of those things that we might do. So,
Yeah, well that, I appreciate that. And I have to say that of course, as we all collectively know, Safe Streets for All, our grant got, let's just say stalled. It's still stalled. But before that happened, we could really foresee all the communities, whether they were part of the regional grant or individual communities that received grants, are all doing this stuff and having a some sort of work group for everyone to get together and learn from each other, and then just like you said, sort of be able to try to be coordinated and measuring the impact that all of these efforts have made to find some efficiencies in that. So, yeah, we appreciate that suggestion.
And Charlene's got a hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that I was I attended a TED Talk, traffic tech talk from WISDOT this morning regarding their Ash to Wear safety program, and they had showed a module that would you could see how, again, this was crash driven, but the impact of crashes before an improvement and after an improvement. And they were kind of describing that would be a way to measure how effective an implementation was. I know that they're looking, I think they are able to share that license, but they're nowhere near that point yet with the locals. But yeah, if there's something the MBO can do to help facilitate that so that we could have access to that, I think that would be worth looking into.
And what is that through, which WISDOT department is that?
That
maybe
would be...
Matt, you're here. Maybe you can enlighten me, because there's
the
many, many departments, the safety group.
Yep. So Daniel Brugman is the contact for that. But Matt,
okay,
if you've got,
because I know
contact,
they're working on a statewide safety action, kind of the state version of the safety action plan that they're working on.
Yeah, they just made it sound like this you know, they didn't give any kind of timeline, and it's certainly not going to be immediate.
Yeah.
But they would be able to share that with the local municipalities.
Yes,
So,
that would be great.
And anything that would help facilitate that, if the MPO could assist, I think that's worth looking into.
Mm-hmm. It's a great one. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for Alex? All right. Seeing none, thank you for the update. One of the last items, staff reports. I'm assuming this is MPO as
yep.
well.
Yeah, so I think Alex may chime in on some of this, but I'll just get us started here. So this first item, we Ben Lyman noticed this pedestrian bicycle bike information center. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with this, but they have often good resources, webinars, and so on. And they put out a report on infrastructure costs, bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure costs about 10 years ago. And now they're trying to build a database of this information to just make it public and share with public agencies. So we just thought we'd include this. It's up to you guys if you want to do this, but you can follow that that link and see that and think about whether you want to include information from projects that your organizations, your agencies, communities have done to add to that. And then hopefully eventually they'll open this up to where it's kind of a living document, it sounds like, where we can find out about the cost of these improvements. So we've got a little bit better handle on what these types of things cost. So that was interesting. Regarding the ETIP, David and Ben are currently cleaning up. That's the electronic transportation improvement program software that we're using now. And they're currently cleaning up the project listings to, I think, get them into that system, and then are hoping to make that public to all of you in the fall. David, Alex, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. That's what's happening now. So, you know, right now, if you're familiar, if you look at our tip, you need to squint at our Excel tables. although, you know, things are new, it's going to take some time, but we are definitely looking forward to having some real time information that you will all, as project sponsors, be able to log in and see things right away when you need them. So we will keep you on top of it. David, do you have anything else to share on it?
The only thing I would add is just reiterate what Bill said. We're cleaning up the platform right now to ensure that all the information is accurate. And then once that's completed, we'll provide a link so that you're able to view our ETIP. We also anticipate having a training session in the future. We still have to pick a date for that. And you're probably already aware that we're not adopting a new tip this year. We're just going to be updating our current tip through amendments. We'll be doing that through next year. And so we won't be adopting a brand new tip until next year. And when we do that, we'll adopt the new ETIP as our tip.
All right. And for the active transportation plan update, just wanted to let all of you know how that went. We received a total of just over 3,400 completed surveys, which we're real happy about. Unfortunately, only 12 of those were in Spanish. We were hoping we would get a little bit more Spanish responses, but it is what it is. On our interactive comment map that allowed people to place points for bicycle and pedestrian comments or draw a line, which could be for bike or ped comment, we got about 1,100 comments, bike point comments, about 391 pedestrian point comments, and then another about 324 line comments on that map. So quite you know, quite a response rate there. Looks like over 1,800 responses or thereabouts. Also, during the past few months, MPO staff got out to try and gin up responses. That's probably one of the reasons we got so many. We went to 15 different events around the area. So 7 of those were in Madison. We had 2 in Fitchburg, 1 in DeForest, 1 in Sun Prairie, Mount Horeb, Middleton, Stoughton, and Oregon. So we got around and I think got a good bit of interest. And so right now we are currently going through the many responses we got, sort of trying to make sense of them, categorize those, and sort of pull out the key lessons from those. So that's where we are on the ATP. And we also finally wanted to just mention that we have a vacancy at the TCC chair right now. Brad, who was elected vice chair, has been stepping in and running the meetings, doing a great job. But Lauren Dietz, who was originally elected to be our chair, she has left her position at Wanakee. And so we, so Brad is carrying the whole load for now. And I think Alex and I were discussing this earlier. Probably the thing to do is to just carry on like this and then have a chair and vice chair election at one of our upcoming meetings and just go from there. And then once we do that, then those whoever gets elected for those positions would assume their duties starting in 2025. I think that's about it. Anything to add to that, Alex?
No, I think that's okay. It. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks to Brad for stepping up.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Thank you, Brad. No problem. My pleasure. I do have a question in terms of process. If I cannot make a future meeting, what happens then?
So we would just assign the, we would ask somebody who is going to make it to take over. That's how we've got it in our operating rules. Mm-hmm. Since I've been involved in this, we haven't done that, but I think we certainly have some veterans of the TCC here who could step in and carry the load, I'm sure.
Okay, perfect.
So if you can just let us know when you know, and we'll take it from there.
So I shouldn't feel guilty for taking a vacation at the end of the
month? No. Cancel it.
All right, good deal. Okay, so that closes out item 6 on the agenda. Next scheduled meeting date, like I just foreshadowed, Wednesday, August 27th, which I don't believe I will be available for. So
I believe I'm going to be gone as well. So we'll see if I can't remember if there's anything we definitely need to have at that meeting or not, but we'll let you know.
Okay. Great. And then other than that, we would take a motion to adjourn unless there's any other questions or comments. Seeing, hearing none.
Motion by Judd to adjourn.
Thank you, Judd. You need a second?
Second.
Thank you, Yang. All right. Sounds good. We will see you at the next meeting, possibly the end of the month, next month. So thank you, everybody.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.